Welcome to Popcorn for Breakfast. Today, we'll help you discover if you're a Kong kind of guy or gal, or a Godzilla kind of guy or gal. Can you be both? Let's find out.
Breakfast, presented by St. Louis Area Smoothie Kings. Now, here are your hosts, Cam and Kirk.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We are approximately, 16 minutes removed from seeing the movie we're reviewing this week. Is that right, Cam?
Kirk, you're casually entering into the podcast as you type notes.
That's right.
How unprofessional.
That's right. Just kind of moseying on in here.
Wow. Hey, you're right. It is late. That's unacceptable, though. And for that, I disavow.
Should I have made all my decisions before we started
yes,
recording? Before we saw the movie,
it was like,
Cam?
It's like what you were doing, like one of those things where somebody, you know, in a show where they're like, oh, hi, I didn't see you there. That was kind of how you entered the show, which I like, but I don't think it was intentional.
Oh, well, if you liked it, I'm going to do that every time.
Okay, perfect.
Maybe it takes the pressure off, because I always feel like I need to perform, right? And so if I'm distracted.
Yep. that's what we're doing here.
But if I'm distracted, maybe I could be a more authentic performer versus, you know.
Workshop that on your own time, Kirk.
Oh, okay.
Don't waste everybody else's time.
You should see the videos I've tried. So many hours, Cam.
I believe it.
Well, this is the day, guys. This is the day. Cam and I have been grueling over all of this Godzilla and King Kong content all week in preparation for today. The movie review is Godzilla X Kong : The New Empire.
Lots of punctuation. I assume the X stands for times Kong.
Right? Could it
and
be?
How can you multiply a Godzilla times a Kong? I don't know. I was never taught that.
What is the Roman numeral for X? Do we know this? It's just 10, right?
Do we know this? Yes, it's 10. Godzilla 10 Kong. I like to just think of it as Godzilla X Kong. Somebody commented on social media whenever we posted the list of movies that are in this franchise, which is like more than you would think.
Yeah.
There's six properties in this franchise, including Godzilla X Kong. And four of them are movies. One of them is a television series.
That is correct.
Which is hard to believe. But anyway, somebody commented and said, there was Godzilla V Kong and now Godzilla X Kong. Where was Godzilla W Kong? Which is a great question. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a prequel to the sequel. You never know.
It's so bizarre. I mean, why couldn't this just be Godzilla and Kong? Like
Godzilla
/Kong? Oh, that'd be interesting. You know what I bet it is? I bet it's the search algorithm. You cannot put those special symbols in a movie title and make it for the internet possible.
Yeah, the and symbol. But then the search bars are smart enough now to swap between the two. But you're right.
It's kind of like M3 GAN. A.K.A. Megan, the robot.
Yeah, that
movie.
Was a bad one.
That was a mistake.
That was a mistake, for sure.
Well, here we are. I have not rewatched the trailer. We're going to keep this as spoiler-free as possible.
Yeah.
But
it will be spoiler-free.
Can you really be that spoiled in a movie like Godzilla and Kong? A little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
Here's what happens.
We're not going to share plot details or anything like that.
Yeah.
Except for just like, we'll share the setup. But I think, you know, we were saying that we watched all the Godzilla movies. There's a lot of pressure. I feel a lot of pressure. I don't know about you with the Godzilla because there's this fandom.
Yeah.
And I suppose with Kong as well, though Godzilla has the more storied history of the two, you know, there's all these Godzilla movies, tons of them. Mm-hmm. And there's eras. I don't even know how to pronounce all the eras. There's the
Godzilla eras tour.
The Showa era, the Heisei era. There's all these different eras. There's the 2000s era, which is called something else I can't even remember. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. So I tried to reacquaint myself both with the movies in this franchise, as I know you did, and then also some of those. But here's the thing. Like, If you're like ultra Godzilla nerd person, I'm sorry. We're not gonna be able to go blow for blow with you on the history of the character, but we've got the basics down.
We're not gonna scratch that itch for you if you in your
there's
basement.
Like 30 movies. There's so many, and it's like Godzilla versus Mothra and Ghidorah, and then there's a Rodan movie, and there's like Godzilla versus everybody.
By the way, everybody
versus Godzilla.
You're throwing out all these names of different monsters, and Mothra is like the only one that I somehow know of. Like I know that name,
King Ghidorah, probably.
I've heard that name,
okay,
but I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what its powers are.
Well, it was in King of the Monsters.
I know it was there, but there's a lot of monsters in these movies.
It's the main one, the three-headed one.
When I started this journey into the Godzilla and Kong, I did not know I was going to see so many different monsters.
Very many.
And have to retain them and study. It was crazy.
Flashcards. Well, that's what we need for next time. But yes, there's Godzilla pressure, but I'm just trying to alleviate the pressure. We are not Godzilla historians.
No.
But we are up to date on this MonsterVerse, and we are ready to bring it to you.
That's right. Well, first of all, before we get started, I just want to apologize. I'm suffering from some sort of cold. And a moment ago, you probably just heard Cam sniffed super hard. He'll have fun editing that later.
Yes.
You'll see
No, I won't. I won't edit it.
Try to get that sniff out of the audio for the children. And I mean, by children, I mean listeners. This is a podcast for adults.
Yes.
But let's talk about all the things that are our favorite things through this movie, if we can. And the Oscar goes to tonight. I get to start.
You do.
It goes to everyone's favorite, Kaylee Hoddle.
Oh.
I think that's how you pronounce her name.
Yep.
We saw her in the most previous film, Godzilla V Kong. She plays Rebecca Hall's daughter. She is discovered, rescued, adopted from the Iwi tribe, which is the tribe that grew up with Kong. And she is someone who is uniquely positioned to communicate with Kong on a one-to-one level. No one else can do this. So she is deaf. And so Rebecca Hall thankfully learns sign language and is able to adopt her as a parental figure and officially her mother. We fully see that maternal and daughter relationship in this one versus the last film. I just really think that this actress, Kaylee, is really incredible. I'm always in awe and appreciative and excited of any deaf actor who comes into Hollywood and knocks it out of the park, because you have such a different world than a lot of other people, and you come in just guns a-blazing, and you stick it. I love it. I absolutely love it. So she is just, she captures the screen. She captures the complete essence of her character. Every frame, it's Kaylee for me.
I like that choice. She's not my pick, so I'm glad. You didn't steal one from me. I, for my Oscar, am going to go with someone who's been around a long time, who I think is very underappreciated in this industry.
Yeah.
And that is Rebecca Hall.
Okay.
Rebecca Hall. I thought she was working incredibly hard in this movie. I thought there was a lot put on her as sort of like the linchpin for this entire plot that is unfolding, because her relationship with her daughter is one that is not spoken. She has to communicate via signing and still convey that same level of emotion. So her and Kaylee are one for one in that regard. But then she's got so much dialogue and so much story and plot resting on her shoulders that she has to walk us through. And she does a really good job. I was blown away because I'm like, at times it feels like this movie is hanging on by a thread. And you're like, but then you get like one paragraph from Rebecca Hall of dialogue, and you're like, you know what? She's doing great. She's hanging in there. She's doing great. She has been around for a while, and she's been in some great movies, The Prestige, The Town. But she doesn't get as many roles.
I didn't know she was in either of those movies.
Yeah.
What?
She's in both.
I just thought
she's in both.
Blake Lively was in The Town. That's all I remember. And then a bunch of Boston guys. Yeah,
Blake Lively is in The Town. But yeah, she's been in a ton of movies, but it's like more recently, I feel like she's been underappreciated. She had like this kind of golden era in the 2000s to 2010
yes
kind of era. And now she's kind of fallen off. And, you know, I got to say, I don't think she should have. I don't think she should have fallen off. I think she's a good actor. She needs a new agent, I think.
Immediately.
But she was top billing for this role, second movie in a row in this franchise. And in both of them, she's been very good. So I have to say, even though Godzilla vs. Kong was not my favorite, I didn't think that she was bad in that movie, and I thought she was good in this movie. So I give her a lot of credit.
She's wonderful. She really is. A couple of movies to scar you for life that she also stars in. A movie with Tim Roth from 2022, Resurrection. Mm. Not for the faint of heart. And, of course, I don't know the year on this, a little film called Christine, based on a true story. Also,
2016 on Christine.
2016, okay. It will haunt you and your dreams and your family. So
Transcendence. Just... Yeah, there's a couple in here that you got to approach with caution.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. But she's a formidable performer. And in a movie that is so CGI heavy and so...
She's actually CGI in this. I don't know if you knew that.
She wasn't there on set at all. They recreated her completely. I wouldn't be surprised. But she, in a movie that is... There's a lot being asked of her. She showed up and did a great job.
So she did.
I give her a lot of credit.
Beautiful choice. We move on to the scene stealer, a.k.a. the best supporting actor. My choice goes to Mr. Brian Tyree Henry. I mean, there's not a single thing to dislike about this man. He's been in so many things, especially recently. One of my favorite stories about him as an actor is that he didn't used to go by Brian Tyree Henry when he came into the acting world. He was Brian Henry. That's his name. And unfortunately, way back when, there was someone already in the acting union named Brian Henry. So he had to update his name in order to join the actors union. I love silly stories like that. And it fits him. I feel like if he was just Brian Henry... I feel like we would still know him, but Brian Tyree Henry is such a marquee name.
It works.
I love it so much.
It works.
And it's very suitable for how powerful his performances are day in and day out. They give him so much of the comedic relief of this film because he can do it. There are jokes that don't work, and he still puts every effort into it. There's a silly line in here that's not a spoiler, but he calls someone or something a trash bag, which I think is one of the dumbest lines I've ever heard in Hollywood cinema. But he does it with such commitment that I'm like, all right, we can move on. I don't need to cringe at this. I'll remember it for a while. But he tries so hard, and every effort that he makes is valiant. I think that from the top to the bottom, even in the most chaotic moments of this movie, when there's a lot of monsters and there's a lot of action, you see him when he comes on screen, you know that he's going to give you what you need to move the plot forward. So, Brian Tyree Henry, bravo.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I think it sucks that he's relegated to class clown in this movie. And in the last movie, he was paired with Millie Bobby Brown, who was giving a career worst performance, like seriously one of the worst ever. She was, you know, younger, still finding yourself, things like that. She's a good actor. I'm not saying that she's not. She really is a good actor. That movie is not one for the resume. That's a toughie. And he was paired with her for most of that film, as well as that. I can't remember that kid, the kid from Deadpool 2. I can never remember his name. Julian something.
Let's find out.
I can never
pause the podcast.
Sorry. Yeah. I need you to be the guy in the chair for me real quick. But, so yeah, he's been dealt a tough hand in this franchise. And again, it's like, this guy's an Academy Award nominee, for Causeway. I'll have you know. And he should not be relegated to class clown, at all. Julian Dennison. I see it on your screen.
Oh, okay.
Right, thank you for doing that. But, you know, he takes what he's given and he does a good job. So I give him, again, credit. Him and Rebecca Hall, I thought, both making lemonade out of lemons in this one for sure.
Oh, lemonade. I'd like some lemonades for my sore throat right now.
I don't think that would help. Oh. I think it would make it worse.
It would flare up.
My scene stealer. I'm going with really the only person left on the board because this cast is not very deep. I'm going with Dan Stevens.
Yay!
Who I thought, this character is wild. I'm not even going to explain this character because, first of all, he is involved in the inciting incident that sparks the whole plot of this movie. And that inciting incident is something you will never predict or expect. at all. So I'm just going to leave that for you. When you see it, you'll know what it is, and you'll be like, wow, that is something. So
it's very convoluted. It's very layered. They tried to make it so specific.
It was very specific.
It was too specific.
Yes.
Which an inciting incident is specific, but this it broke every rule.
The thing that starts this movie, you would not believe it. If I told you how the movie ended and then told you where it's, you'd be like, I'm sorry, what? So anyway, Dan Stevens is involved in that. This character is a lot. This character is like sensory overload personified. There's just a lot going on here. He's like very much a super charismatic, kind of crazy guy. He's sort of the second comedic punch, and him and Brian Tyree Henry play off of each other a lot. His character's got this like 70s Florida, at one point in the movie, they, as a joke, they call him Ace Ventura.
Yes.
He's got that sort of vibe to him. There's like a electronica rock opera vibe to him. It's wild. Mm-hmm. It's all over the board. But Dan Stevens committed fully to it. You have to give him that. I mean, he 100% was in it, understood the character, and went farther than I think a lot of people would for it to try to make it work. I don't think it did work, but I don't think that's his fault. So that's why he's my scene stealer.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. Yeah, he's like a silly cowboy in this movie with no cowboy hat. And you said, you know, Floridian, but he's fully British in this.
Or
Australian.
Or Australian. I know it's questionable at times. The accent is questionable. There were times where I was like, okay, Australian. And I was like, no, maybe not.
That's like me when I try to do accents. I fade in and out.
When you're reading the Bluey books to your kids, that's me. I'm always like trying to do the Australian accents, and it's a rough go.
The first sentence comes out so strong, and then you just warp into this blob. It's crazy.
So true.
Next up, we have Showstopper for this film. This one's tricky because, as with any of these Godzilla movies from 2014 on specifically, talking about the core five films that have come out since 2014, plus the series, if anyone has watched that on Apple TV Plus with the Russells, Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell. So it should be a good time. I've heard good things. Mm-hmm. This is tricky. So many action scenes. Is it an action moment? Is it a poignant moment? Is it a graphic? What is it? I've been trying to figure this out, and I think I've come to the conclusion. It's a very mirrored moment that if you've seen Godzilla versus Kong, there's a moment when those two characters meet together for the first time, and they're figuring out who's the boss, who's the apex predator in this moment. And they have another moment like this in this film, and I think it is the strongest piece of this film. I think they had the blueprint from the previous film that was, again, that sequence was done so effortlessly that they recreated it in with different circumstances and different different characters and different setting, but they found the core of it, and how they relate to each other and how they fight each other is very specific. This is so silly because we're talking about two giant CGI monsters.
But I'm with you. I'm all in. Let's go.
But for some reason, I'm like, I'm enjoying this story. I'm understanding these drawings on a big screen that we're all facing towards. So I think that's the showstopper moment for me.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. For me, I feel like it's the tone, but I want to be careful about that because I think there's something fundamental that they understood about this movie. And understood about Godzilla movies in general and monster movies from this universe, which is that of the Godzilla movies that I've seen, there's only two types of them that have been successful, like actually achieved what I think they were trying to achieve. The first kind is the Godzilla movies where Godzilla is a metaphor for something. And he's a big scary monster that represents something else. Think about like the original Godzilla from 1954 or like Godzilla Minus One or Shin Godzilla or whatever. That works because it's tied to something else. And I think that 1954 Godzilla movie with the like atom bomb commentary having been after the Japan attacks and things like that, like it's really powerful. And there have been other Godzilla movies along the way that have accomplished that same thing and kind of approached it with this sort of reverence. Even the Roland Emmerich 1999 Godzilla approached it with like a,
yeah,
like a reverence to the character. Like, look at the scale, look at the chaos of it. That's not a great movie, but I grew up with it and I was always amazed by the scale. Like, ooh, what would happen if I was in this situation? So that's one category of successful Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
The other category is wacky, nutso, crazy Godzilla movie, but just like wildly entertaining. And I think they understood that, like, okay, this movie is not going to be the one that's making Godzilla a metaphor for something better, or same with Kong. It's not going to be heavy in the theming. It's not going to be heavy in the, you know, trying to drive home this central message about society at large. And so they're like, let's make it wacky. And I think they understood that. And they tried to, but I just don't know that you can do it the way that they used to do it in like the 60s, 70s, 80s, where it was like, if it's a Godzilla movie, people are showing up. So this, whatever, whoever was behind it, they were like, whatever, do your thing. Now it's like, you've got the studios involved. You've got Warner Brothers here. And they're like, we need to make this a commercial product. We can't let you go total wacky crazy. And I think they really tried, but it just didn't happen. But they understood it though.
And yet the producers chose some really wacky, crazy tropes that they trust for audiences, and they're not understanding that audiences change over time. Like, you can have an archetype of something that would, like the silly cowboy, the introverted, almost slapstick kind of character in Brian Tyree Henry.
The quirky nerd.
Yes, the protagonist, the surprise protagonist. All these things, they make sense, but if you only hold on to what was done in 1955 and you don't update them and mature them, then you get a little crazy.
Yeah, I think my theory is that the original cut of this movie was crazier.
Yeah.
And that the studio was like, no, we gotta rein that in, which is a bummer. And that's total speculation. I don't know. But I would like to see a version of this movie where they just go full 70s crazy, like retro electronica rock ballad kind of mode on it, and not just kind of like half your foot over here and half your 1 foot over here and 1 foot over there.
The 7 hour cut of Godzilla X Kong.
It's out there. Release it. Release the Snyder cut.
We're going to start the hashtag right now. The movement.
Release the Wingard cut.
Let's move on. Director's shoes. Let's talk about things that upset us. Made us want to throw our popcorn against the stranger next to us.
Mm. As we often do.
Yes. Yeah. Jump at the screen and tear it with some sort of sharp object. This comes down to a couple of things. I do believe Dan Stevens' character is completely useless. I think that you could sub any other person into that's already existing in this world and it would be fine. He was a completely auxiliary, expendable character. They introduced new critical information in this movie way too late. There's a few things actually that happen 75% of the way into this film, and they are talking to you, telling the audience, informing them as if we should be excited about this new information. However, it's just the worst kind of storytelling. Like, by the way, this is kind of convenient. Let me tell you about this thing that we did that no one's talked about before. I hate that so much. Mm-hmm. There's too many monsters in this film. I think I've said that already. Way too many monsters. And more importantly, there's too much of an expectation to know the lore of all these monsters. I think I've said that before, but I was not anticipating a test walking into any of these films. And they start like the radio people in the transitions are like, we've got Blargan socks. He's coming out of the water.
Oh, my favorite. Good
and
one.
It's crazy. Like, I didn't anticipate, and I never anticipated to need to know those things. And it upset me, quite honestly.
Yeah, it's hard because there is that, again, that horde of Godzilla historians out there that, you know, are a huge audience for them. And so they have to cater to them in some capacity.
Yeah.
But it's, again, we see the same thing with the MCU. Like, it weighs it down, you know, these franchises when there's so much history and so much on all of these characters, you're limited creatively to what you can do because you have to throw in stuff to appease the fandom. So that's tough. But My director shoots, Kirk, I'm right with you. The story, you were right on the money. The story is a story is a mess. It's a mess. And to your point, this movie drags you, and I mean drags you, through the first hour and 20 minutes. It's just flat out not entertaining.
Yeah.
Full runtime is an hour 55, and legitimately the first 75% not entertaining. You don't know what you're building toward. They don't give you enough to grasp onto and say, okay, this is where we're headed and this is why, or anything rooted in anything that you can even relate to. It's not even so much as like, you don't have to understand where the plot is going in a movie always, but you have to be able to grab onto something, mm-hmm. something you can relate to, some human element, whatever. You get none of that in this movie. They finally do the reveal of like, here's where we're building toward, again, at like the 75% mark. But by that point, I'm out. By that point, you've lost me.
Yes.
And I think that many people will feel the same way, because it's just such an unrewarding slog at the beginning. And that cannot happen. This is a monster movie. You need to err on the side of stupid amount of monster fights versus that, you know? And that's something I hated, Godzilla King of Monsters, mm-hmm. but they erred on the side of stupid amount of monster attacks.
They did.
And I still think that movie's worse than this one for different reasons, but you cannot make it boring. That should not happen, and that they absolutely made it boring.
If you have that much action and years of information to pull from to put into the story, how do you fail? How do you fail?
Yeah. Studio oversight or something. I don't know. The story top to bottom, it's bad storytelling. It's a mess. It fails the movie.
It's too much. Well, let's move into our final thoughts and score. It's always nice to trash the movie and then say our final thoughts and score just before we reveal how much we did or did not like this film. So I think that, come closer, everyone. Just join us. Just get really, really close here. I believe that there is a future for this franchise. And the reason is, we saw this movie on a Thursday at 9 p.m., mm-hmm. practically 10 o'clock after the trailers ran their course. And this theater was full. There were probably like...
It was packed.
Six vacant seats. It was so full. It was crazy.
And the demographics we were talking about afterwards, the demographics were across the board.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just like what you would expect as a Godzilla fan horde or anything like that. I mean, this was like anybody and everybody.
I saw women in their 80s. I saw 10-year-olds that walked to the theater to see the fight of the lifetime.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's true.
I can't explain it. I honestly can't. Like, I don't think I left this movie going, I don't think I understand the mainstream film consumer.
No.
I'm perplexed.
We have been to movies that should be home runs.
So many movies.
Packed every single night.
Yeah.
And yet there's not people there.
It's crazy.
I feel like our viewing of Oppenheimer, I don't feel like there were as many people there.
Well, like Mission Impossible is one that comes to mind.
Yes.
Dead Reckoning. I'm like, okay, this is a strong franchise, huge star. I mean, this has been successful. They've had recent movies. This should be like performing. You show up and there's like 10 people there. And I was like, what? I was there like opening weekend.
Yes.
Crazy.
And the online narrative doesn't change from the hype.
No.
And the box office number doesn't change. Like, those people went to see it. But when are they going? Like, I don't understand.
No, but like Mission Impossible didn't do that good in the box office.
What'd it get?
Not like the first weekend, it was bad. It was not good.
Give me the numbers right now.
I don't have it, but I'm saying go to Box Office Mojo and check it out. I feel like this movie, based on what we saw, is like, I don't know what the domestic projection is, but I'd say it's probably north of 70 million just based on what we've got here. And that's crazy to me.
I think this movie is going to make over $400 million at the end of its box office run.
Globally. Like all
globally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Globally. You're probably right.
No,
probably
just, right. Just in our town.
And that's why they keep making them, I guess.
They do. I don't understand it, but I'm glad that people are going to the movie theaters. I don't understand you at all, but thank you for doing it. Enjoy what you enjoy, right? Like what you like. This movie wasn't for me. I think I'm a Kong guy. I like the humanity of Kong. I like that he, you know, chimps and apes, they're so close to humans and they have, we can reflect upon them versus Godzilla, who's just going to destroy things. He is Bam Bam from the Flintstones, if you are old enough to understand that reference. I think that this film falls in the spot three for me. Maybe we can do a ranking in a little bit of the full five. Spot three for me of the
Do yours right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Kong Skull Island, number one. Godzilla V Kong, number two.
Okay.
Godzilla X Kong, A New Empire, number three. Godzilla 2014 with Aaron Taylor Johnson and
Elizabeth Olsen,
Bryan Cranston, number four. And number five, Godzilla King of the Monsters, in that order.
Okay.
That's my order. I think that this movie, it was too messy for me. I just could not grab onto or see through all of the CGI and really follow the story. The late exposition, those things kind of bothered me. This film gets a 3.7 out of 10 kernels for me.
Okay. I feel similarly. I think this movie is trying to do something. Like, I think it's trying to be, it's kind of like I said in my showstopper, I really think it's trying to be a good Godzilla movie that's wacky and crazy and just wildly entertaining, but it fails at being entertaining, and that's the key. They got the wacky and crazy, they got the, like, let's not beat around the bush, this is monsters beating the crap out of each other, let's have fun with it, but they didn't have fun. You know, it wasn't entertaining enough, which is such a head scratch. I'm literally scratching my head. It's such a head scratching thing. I'm still having trouble like reconciling it in my brain. Like, how did they miss that mark so bad? It is a bad mark to miss. I don't think the cast did anything particularly wrong. I think the story let them down. I think the screen, like the actual dialogue let them down. And ultimately just the creative vision for this movie was flawed from beat one. My ranking of these movies, I would go Kong, Skull Island, then Godzilla 2014, Godzilla V Kong, then this movie, and then Godzilla King of the Monsters. Yep. So
we're top and bottom are exactly the same. We have the exact same sandwich, but the different different innards. Look at that. Exactly. I just wanted to use the word innards.
Yeah, that's a toughie. That's a toughie. So, yeah, this is not one to write home about. I think I don't know. Whenever we didn't get the screening for this movie and then they moved the embargo to today, Thursday morning, which is the day that the premieres were happening, I was like, uh-oh. You know, like, they don't want the press seeing this movie and writing reviews early. And then the tomato score came out and it was like middling. And I was like, oh, well, all that for nothing. But no, I actually hated it. I thought it would be like, I was like, I don't know what to expect. I thought it was going to be bad originally, but then I saw the Rotten Tomatoes score and I was like, okay, well, usually if it was like as bad as I thought, it would get a lower score. And it ended up being pretty middling and pretty divisive. I haven't read any of those reviews yet. I can't wait because I just want to hear people who loved it. I just want to see where they're at. Uh-huh. I'm not one of them. I'm giving this a 3.0 flat yes. out of 10.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Cam, tell me this. Do you think you're more of a Godzilla guy or more of a Kong guy?
That's a tough one. I feel like I grew up with Godzilla. I really watched the heck out of that Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie growing up.
I saw it in theaters.
I don't think I did.
I was too young. I have bad parents.
Is it PG-13?
It is PG-13.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't see it in theaters. I did get to watch it at home, like, fairly regularly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I dug it. I have not rewatched it. For whatever reason, it's so funny. I'm so nostalgic about it. When I was rewatching these Godzilla movies this week and then going back and watching some of the like really old ones, like the original and some of those like Showa era movies, I couldn't bring myself to watch the Godzilla from my era because I just didn't want to tarnish it.
You want to protect it.
In my mind, I mean, I've seen people say like it's really bad, and I remember some things about it that I'm like, yeah, that's not great. But I have fond memories of it. And I just remember thinking, man, look how big Godzilla is. Uh-huh. And like, what would I do? So that always has a special place in my heart. So yeah, I think I'm a Godzilla guy.
Yeah.
I actually really like Skull Island. I think Skull Island kind of rocks.
It's so good.
I give that movie so much credit for just being so weird.
Yeah.
And just like, they were like, this is the creative vision. Either get with it or get out of the way. Like, they were just like, this is the movie we're making. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I just, when that movie came out, I don't even think I saw it in theaters. I saw it when it hit streaming.
Now, that one I did see in theaters.
And I just remember being super pleased with it. Super pleased with it. It was also shot, part of it was shot on the Kualoa ranch out in Oahu.
Yes.
I got to visit there. Me and my wife, Aubrey, got to go sit in the graveyard of Kong's ancestors. It was so cool. It was so cool. There's so much cool stuff out there on that ranch with so many different things that were filmed. Jurassic World, Jurassic Park was filmed there. Tons of movies. It's fantastic. I think that Kong Skull Island should be the blueprint if they mm-hmm. make another one of these films.
Yeah, it was the best one for a lot of reasons. And it's also just feels the most different from every other one in this franchise. You know,
it does.
I think like Kong Skull Island and Godzilla feel like different movies from a different franchise than the last three. The last three feel like, okay, I can see the relationship between them. Though King of the Monsters is like definitely the worst.
It should be deleted. Deleted.
I would like to delete it from my memory. Yes. Yeah, I would.
Maybe one day. Maybe one day we can figure that out. Well, thank you for listening to us. I think I've made Cameron sick as we've been recording this podcast.
It's quite possible.
Progressively, he's been clearing his throat and muting his mic. So we got to get out of here before I fully infect him and his family. We appreciate all of you listeners, everything you do for us, every follow, every subscription, every like, every heart, every laughter face, every whatever reaction.
Every mean comment. We like those too.
You know, we got a lot of those last week.
Yeah.
And thanks. If you're still here, like bring it on because we want to chat with you. Because we're never going to be mean back to you, but we will just share our opinion too. So share your opinion. We're here. We don't have thick skin, but we'll pretend like we do. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Peace.